the very beautiful Joan Baez.
We shall.
This is
we
Bobby
Alia.
Welcome to our show.
We shall be alright. We shall be alright.
Okay, very good. Great song, isn't that? We're going to have that song on at the end also, because we shall overcome. The name of this show is Let's Create a Better World, which means we have to overcome the horrible things going on in the world today. We also talk a lot about healthy aging, which includes the foods, genetically engineered foods. We talk about that a lot. We talk about exercise, diet, foods, what to eat, what not to eat, dance, yoga, positive, grateful thinking, and love. We talk about all of it. We want you to have a quality life. Now, this show is all about that, and if you like the show, please rate us on iTunes. And today, we're going to have a special on the show. We're going to talk about seeds. We're going to start adding that to our repertoire. Seeds, organic gardening, and feeding the world. So, we're on the archives. For those of you that like to be on the archives and want to hear a great show about aging, August the 3rd, a show that I had with my co-host, Dr. Sarah Larson. She's a fabulous doctor here in Southern California. I'm in Los Angeles, and here's my number if you have any ideas or would like any thoughts in the future. Call this number. Call me at 323-770-1925. All right, we're going to have three guests on today. The one in the middle is going to be just a few minutes. The first guest will be David King. He's a garden master. He will be speaking for about 20 minutes because he will be our main speaker at a big Gary Noll meeting we're having tomorrow at his place in Venice, California. Big organic farm, beautiful. We're going to be on at 5:30. I'll give that announcement later. David King is the, we're also going to have Diana Addison, a natural food chef. She'll be on to talk about, she'll also be feeding us tomorrow at the meeting, and she's great. She's been the lady that brings the food to all of our meetings, a vegan chef. She's great. Then we'll have Edward Gordon, a great acupuncturist with some new methods of acupuncture. All right, let's get our first guest on. David King is also a, runs the Learning Garden. He's been around over 11 years, adjacent to Venice High School in Venice, California. He also, for 2.5 years, has had Seeds Library of Los Angeles. We're going to talk about all those with David. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good, David. Well, let's start with talk a little for a minute or so about yourself, how you got into this, and then let's talk about your two places, the Learning Center and the Seeds Library.
Sure enough. You know, I was born in a small town in Kansas and came by gardening right off the bat because I didn't get along well with kids my own age, but I got along fine in the garden. And so gardening off and on has been a part of my life almost all the way through my life. I did take a right-hand turn and try my hand at being a rock and roll star, but that didn't work out, so I came back to gardening full-time.
That's great.
And always a part of that has been seeds, seed saving, and looking for the plants, the varieties that taste the best and be the most enjoyable to consume. So I had been kind of casting about for a place, and in 2002 I came across this thing called the Learning Garden, and thought, well, that aligns with my goals. So I just kind of started showing up here every day. I put a sign on the door that said Garden Master, and after about a month, they said, you're doing a good job. We'll have to figure out how to pay you. So I've been doing that for the last about 12 years, and the Seed Library just kind of came out of that with a desire to not have to wait around for the government to do something about genetically modified organisms.
That's so great. Go ahead.
Well, I realize that, you know, there's something we can do, and as an individual, what we can do is we can save the seeds that are not GMO, and we can save the seeds that have been around for hundreds of years that are savable, that we can save them. They're not hybrids, and so it was just a logical thing that if I can't do it by myself, we can do it as a community.
That's great. You know, seeds are, we're going to talk more about that in the show, but also, David, tomorrow, people are excited. Some of our people that come regularly to our meetings are anxious to hear about this because organic farming and seeds are, a lot of people, even health people, holistic people, haven't heard about it, don't know a whole lot about it, just the basics. And this is why I'm excited to come over there and get our people to learn about this, and we really want to jump into it and help you because what you're doing is a fantastic thing. I'd like to ask you about the lady from India. First, her name and tell us about her a little bit. And I know she was in town a couple months ago. Okay?
Yeah, Vandana Shiva. Dr. Vandana Shiva is a physicist who's gotten very much interested in seeds. And I've been, you know, in my world, Vandana Shiva is the Led Zeppelin of the seed-saving world. She has done incredible work. She was there long before most of us and had the vision that many of us find ourselves clinging to right off the bat because she is able to take a very large and difficult problem and present it in very simplified terms that you can grasp and immediately turn around and begin to utilize it. She also takes a lot of her lessons from Gandhi. So I've been very privileged to be a part of, to hear her a number of times and to be on the same program with her. In fact, I was on KPFK with her a couple of months ago. But she has an organization called Seed Freedom. And in respect to that, we've started an organization in Los Angeles called Seed Freedom LA. And the intention behind that is that we ask our city council to declare Los Angeles a GMO-free zone, meaning that you cannot grow or plant genetically modified plants in Los Angeles. We think that this is a low bar because, in fact, there's no GMOs being planted in Los Angeles to begin with. But we'd like to have it in place so that when the biotech people begin to introduce genetically modified seeds for the home gardener, that we're ready for them and we have our gardens protected from cross-pollination of genetically modified organisms. We take a lot of inspiration from Vandana Shiva.
Yeah. Great. David, I've heard about her not only from you but Susan and other people about Dr. Shiva, Dr. Vandana Shiva. She's sounds like a really spiritual person, and I'm glad that you're working closely with her because you're here in the United States. You're a premier person, as we know. You're a garden master, and you've got all these things going on. And I hear about the classes. I hear nothing but good things about you and your place over there. So we're excited to have a meeting there tomorrow. Tomorrow at the meeting, I guess you're going to give us an orientation about all the things about the learning the garden. Learning garden and also about the seeds library. Tell me a couple things I want to ask you about genetically engineered foods. I know that you've talked about them. Tell us how that is in line with the fact that we're trying to have our own foods and our own seeds. This is a way of avoiding and the genetically engineered foods that are prevalent all over the world. Is that right? Can you talk about that briefly, please?
Sure. Well, you know, genetically modified foods are not prevalent all over the world. They're prevalent in the United States. Of all the countries in the world, the United States is the one country, the only one country, that has bent over backwards to pacify the demands of these corporations that are foisting these genetically modified crops on us and putting it into our food. you know, on one hand, they classify these very crops as being pesticides, but once they're in our food, it's good food. I don't understand that. And I do understand that they're speaking out of both sides of their mouths. I'm talking about the United States government, because they're on one hand saying, well, it's just like everything else. It's just like all the other corn. It's just like all the other soybeans. But on the other hand, they say, oh, no, we have a patent on this because this is really unique. Well, it's one way or the other, folks. It isn't both. And simply by that declaration on their part, I am led to regard genetically modified organisms with great suspicion. And most of the research that's being done on genetically modified organisms at this time is showing that it is not healthy for us. And it's about time that this kind of research is being done because, you know, we've been fed this from about 1986 forward.
Wow. You know, David, I've heard you have classes over there, and I've heard good things about that, too. Tell me some of the classes you do and what you teach at the Learning Center.
Okay. Well, here at the Learning Garden, we've got Victory Garden classes that are a curriculum put out by the University of California out of Davis. We have UCLA Extension classes in gardening and horticulture and sustainability here. And we also put on our own classes, besides having high school classes in gardening and landscaping. So we are looking at all different ages, and we even have Chinese medicinal plants here. So we have acupuncturists or people studying acupuncture come by and take a look at our plants, study our living plants rather than the dried material that they get in class. So we have a lot of things going on over here, and we also are host, besides the Seed Library, we're host to the Westside Produce Exchange and the Westside Time Bank. It's called Our Time Bank, where people trade hours rather than dollars. So we are home to a lot of different things over here.
David, that sounds great. That's you're doing a heck of a lot of things. I admire you. I'm looking forward to tomorrow, and not only your talk, but after the talk, we want to take a tour of the premises, to see the gardens and hear what you have to say about what goes on in the gardens and how people can help and get involved. Because I know you have volunteers. And tell us about the gardens and what goes on there.
Well, it's about an acre in size, and about two-fifths of it is used by the high school for their gardens. The rest of it is pretty much left to us to decide what to do. And so we do several things here. We have the Chinese medicinal garden, as I mentioned. We have about 60 fruit trees that we're growing here, and so we show people how to grow fruit trees in Los Angeles. We have UCLA Extension classes have their garden space here, and in addition to that, we grow out for seed many of the plants that we distribute through the Seed Library of Los Angeles, which is also housed here.
Wow. Yeah. What are the future? What? Tell me about the future of what some of your goals are in the next 5 years or 10 years, of what you'd like to see happen with you, your work, your center, the two groups. Tell us about that, please.
Sure. In the first place, I'd like to see some place like the Learning Garden established. I'd like to see many more of these replicated throughout the city, not just for high school students or students in school, but for the adults of the community, because we are all going to need to know a little bit more about how our food grows and how we can grow it. And we also will need to know what it looks like and what good practices take to make food available right there in your own yard. I'd like to see this as a resource in every neighborhood, that every neighborhood has some place you can just walk to and learn more about gardening and learn how to grow your own food, and also how to avoid genetically modified or other suspect methods of taking care of your food, because we don't seem to get that from our own government these days.
Right. David, what's the progress with the city council? You mentioned that earlier, that you were wanted to make that a GMO-free zone. What happened
yes.
with that, and what's going on with that? How can we help? And tell us about that, please.
Well, I think everybody listening should get in contact with their city council person and tell them this is something they want. We have a petition we are circulating when we find groups of us meeting together. We ask people to sign this petition, and we're going to put it on the desk of the city council people. In the next month, we anticipate there might be some movement along this line. But we need, as the people of Los Angeles, we need to be ready to stand up and ask our city, all of our city council people, to do this, to sign on to this, that we want this, that this is an important part to protect our school gardens, to protect our home gardens, to protect our community gardens. We want this genetically modified pollen kept out of Los Angeles County, or Los Angeles City, rather. So this is something everybody needs to do. Everybody needs to just take some time, email or call your city council person. This is very, very important.
David, is Los Angeles, by the way, you know there are shows all over the country, a lot of back east and around the world,
yes,
on the internet station that's the fastest growing station in the world. Tell me about other cities, or is L.A. and Los Angeles in the forefront of this, of the kind of work you're doing, or are the cities doing things similar? Because I like your idea of spreading out, getting more learning gardens out. Tell me about that, please.
Sure. Other cities are somewhat ahead of Los Angeles. Other cities are behind. We are the largest city that's considering this, I think. But Mendocino County and I think Santa Cruz County and Lake County in California have all declared themselves GMO-free zones. There are cities in Oregon and Washington, small cities, I admit, but cities nonetheless, that have declared themselves GMO-free zones. And I think you're going to find that this is going to move throughout the entire country because they can't fight every one of us every time. You know, they were able to spend an enormous amount of money to defeat Prop 37, and they're spending an enormous money to defeat Washington's Prop 522. So there's a lot of money there to face, but we have volunteers, and our volunteers are a renewable source, and their money, hopefully, is not inexhaustible. So everybody should I think, get in contact with whomever your elected official is and say this is something you don't want. The cry
Absolutely.
Has got to come from many different quarters because they have the money to grease the palms of politicians. And we need to be able to say to them, you don't cross this line. You represent us. You do not represent these multinational corporations who really don't give a damn about the United States or the people of the United States. Or any other country, for that matter. So
yeah, that's right.
I think we need to, and also, act. Seed libraries are a viable community-based effort, very low cost. It does require some attention, but it's very low cost, and it is a way to grow plants and save the seeds of those plants to plant next year and have a source of food at your fingertips, at your doorstep, that is non-genetically modified. It's a practical and simple thing you can do with a little bit of instruction.
Yeah. For those of you that tuned in a little late, my name is Bobby Elias. Our show is Let's Create a Better World, and we're into healthy aging and just health in general. And we're taking up a new topic, for us at least, and seeds and organic gardening. We're speaking with Garden Master David King, who runs the Learning Garden in Venice, California, and also the Seeds Library of Los Angeles, and doing a lot of great things. And David, you mentioned, we were talking about what's going on in the rest of the country, and it seems like the West Coast, Mendocino County, and it sounds like Northern California, all of the whole entire West Coast, Oregon, Washington, California, are taking the lead in this whole matter. And because we're far more progressive, because we have great weather and great farmlands. Is that the case from your perspective?
I don't necessarily think so. I think that all over the United States, and I can't really speak to, well, first of all, Europe has never fallen into the trap to begin with, so Europe is way ahead of everybody. They have much less genetically modified food on their shelves. And when they do have genetically modified food, it's labeled, you know. So they're way ahead of us. South America, in many respects, is ahead of us. There are parts of South America that have no GMOs. GMOs are outlawed in the entire country. So they're ahead of us. Vermont and some other states back east have passed GMO labeling laws that we have yet to get around to on the West Coast. So No, we're not ahead. We're barely keeping pace.
Right. Yeah, but the West Coast is doing a lot of things. I do know that. I know in Washington we're going to win. There's going to be an election there, November the 6th, and Pam Leary, who, by the way, I was there when you and Pam Leary spoke about a month ago at your place. Wonderful
yes.
meeting, wonderful people. But Pam is going to be on our show in a week or two to give a report on what's going on in Washington and the rest of the country. She's really into it, as you know, David. But going back to what you said about South America, Annette Aguilar, one of our other organizers, because I'm involved with the organizing team also. I really believe in this. It's a shame we lost, yes, on 37. But next time we're going to win, I'm sure, because we've got the more word out. But Mexico, I understand, Monsanto is over there, and they want to genetically engineer the corn. Another thing about South America, Argentina, maybe they've gotten better, but I know for a fact that a couple years ago there were children and other people, children were coming out deformed, and a lot of atrocities from enormous amounts of GMO in Argentina. So, but anyway, that's my comment. But David, we got to wrap up here. I'd like you to give me a final thought, and then we can get your contact information. Give me a minute
really?
Or so to motivate our people to understand and learn about seeds and organic gardening.
Well, first of all, I do want to say you're going to be down here at 5:30 tomorrow, and
yes, sir.
You enter the Learning Garden off of Walgrove Avenue.
Right.
You'll need to find parking on the street, but enter off of Walgrove Avenue, and my contact information, you can get a hold of me at chair@slola, SLOLA.org. SLOLA stands for Seed Library of Los Angeles. And if you have note information about the Learning Garden, it would be gardenmaster@thelearninggarden.org.
Great, great. We want to have you on again in the future, David. And also, I'm going to make the announcement right now about tomorrow. Why don't you hang with me right here in case there's something else you want to add about the not only the meeting tomorrow, but another final thought. For all our listeners that are in the Southern California area and want to come, David King is going to speak tomorrow, Sunday the 29th, at 5:30. By the way, David, a few people got the word at 5 o'clock somehow. One of them, KPFK, announced it that way. But that's all right. We'll be there early. I'll be there at 4 o'clock to prepare and get ready. And it's going to be at the on the side of Venice High School. Venice High School, the address is 13000 Venice Boulevard. That's the address of Venice High, but the event will be on Walgrove, which is west, on the west side of the high school, which is the first street west of, as you go down Venice Boulevard, and then you turn on, go south on Walgrove, and you'll see a sign and a driveway entrance to go into this event. It costs $10 for the event, goes towards the Gary Noel Health Support Group of Los Angeles, which I run. It also, we're going to give everyone a free DVD by Gary Noel, leave the choice of several key ones, really good ones. And our food lady will be on. She's going to be on with me for a few minutes as soon as I get off with Garrett, with David here to talk about the food, vegan food and organic food and her work. And she'll be there tomorrow to give a five-minute talk on food. And then after that, there will be food for everybody with the donation. It's going to be great. So we're in for a great, great day. I've been to the center. It's fabulous because they've got a nice chairs and it's a speaker form. They have music there. They have great events there. David, you're doing a great job. David, how about a one-minute wrap-up, final thought, and then we're going to finish up with you and move on.
Well, I think it's a new time for being active in America, and I think it's a new time for us to really get down to consider what health means all the way around, as you mentioned in your introduction, that it's not just about food, but food's a big part of it. And you vote every day with what you eat. And so let's go ahead and change the way we eat and change the way we live so that we're all healthier and all happier. And I think tomorrow afternoon, evening, we're going to show people some really good stuff, and it's going to be a fun time for everybody. I look forward to it, and I hope everybody that can makes it out tomorrow.
David, thank you so much. You're great. The work you're doing, great. I commend you, and I admire you for everything you're doing. You're a dedicated soldier. Thanks so much for being on with us, and we'll be talking to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care. All right. Thank you, everyone. This was wonderful. we need to learn about seeds. We need to learn about organic gardening, growing our own foods. We're going to try to have Dr. Vandana Shiva from India. She's a Gaudi disciple and a real seeds lady, a food lady. She wants to feed the world. She wants to teach us to save our seeds. I can't wait to meet this woman. I've heard so many wonderful things about her. She will be on our radio show if I have anything to do with this, and I do. So we're going to have her on. Anyway, let's turn to the next thing. We've got two more. For those of you that are coming in late, my name is Bobby Elias. This is Let's Create a Better World. We also have another theme of healthy aging and health in general, body, mind, spirit. And if you like the show, please rate us on iTunes. We're on the archives, and as I just mentioned, we're having a great meeting tomorrow. Our next guest for a few minutes is Barbara Addison. She is a natural vegan food chef, and she is going to be doing a food demonstration tomorrow, and we're going to have food for those that attend this meeting. She's wonderful. She picks great food, or we wouldn't keep having her at our giving on meetings for a number of years. Diane, welcome to the show. How are you? Diane, are you there? Well, let me talk about that for a minute until she comes on, if she does, hopefully. And vegan food is the bomb. It's the best. You want to be a vegan, not just a vegetarian, a vegan. That's what I am. That's what Gary Null is. Gary Null is the owner of this radio station.
Yes, I'm on the phone for a few minutes. I can't get...
You're here, Diane?
Oh, hi. How are you?
You're here. Good. All right. Welcome to the show, Diane. I introduced you already. Now, the first thing I want to ask you, tell us about the food, the way you prepare the food. Tell us about your work. Just tell us in general what you do.
Well, you asked me about the food.
Yes.
The food that I prepare is all organic and natural and good for you, obviously. I think it's very, very important to eat healthfully, since every single bite of food that you eat has influence on your mind, body, and spirit, and your blood cells, obviously. It's important to have a good balance of whole grains, beans, and vegetables, to have good soups. I think a lot of people today are eating unhealthfully because they're relying on fast food and processed foods. The best foods that you can eat, or at least for my body, is fresh, alive, vibrant, colorful, and, of course, delicious. So I teach cooking classes, and I am also a personal chef, natural food chef, vegan chef. And I have a company called Health Essentials, where I provide...
Tell us about that. Yeah, please tell us about that. I'm interested in that, because you and I spoke about it.
Well, I provide products for healthy living, and some of them are... one of them actually is fabulous for detoxification and building the immune system, and that's a far infrared sauna and also a traditional sauna. Now, this one actually is very high quality, and it's made completely free of any adhesives or toxic building materials. Most saunas these days are made in China. They're constructed with adhesives and plywood. This is completely free of all those toxic building materials, so that's essential for detoxing properly, because when you're sweating, your pores are opened and they're susceptible to any allergens or toxins in the air. So sweating is good. It increases blood circulation and just really gets out the toxins out of your body. And I also have high-quality water filters and air filters. And I also hand-pour manufacture a line of soy candles. And these soy candles are actually GMO-free. Most of the soy wax candles you see on the market, they're made with soybeans, that have been genetically modified. So I also do coconut wax and organic wax as well. And I use essential oils. So that's another plus, because most candles are made with fragrances, which aren't that good for you. And so I also have a rebounder, which is good for the lymphatic system. So if you look on my website, I also have great recipes, helpful recipes. I make really good hummus and nori rolls, and there's millet shepherd's pie and all these great recipes on there, and that's at DianeAddison.com. It's DianeAddison.com or HealthEssentialsForYou.com, and you can take a look at the recipes, or you can also look at some of the products that I have. And if, as I mentioned before, I'm a personal chef in the Los Angeles area. I do travel sometimes, but if you just need help with creating a healthful menu for yourself, if you're out of the area, you know, we can work online or on the by phone, and I can give you my phone number, which is 818-706-1888, or toll free 1-800-653-8881. And I'm also would be willing to answer any questions you have in regards to any recipes or questions you have in regards to healthful eating.
Great, great, Diana. Diane, I highly recommend you to all our people, not only on this radio show, but tomorrow we're going to have you talk for a little while about food and health food, and then cooking, and then, a little demonstration for a while after David speaks for the first hour of our meeting tomorrow. The event starts at 5:30, and I will see you early there tomorrow. But, Diane, you're doing great work. Thank you so much for coming on, and looking forward to this. And Diane did a great job 2 weeks ago at a meeting we had at the Gateway, at the Healing Center in Los Angeles, and she's wonderful. Thanks so much,
Thank
Diane.
You so much. And by the way, I have to say the very first job I had was selling seeds. I was about 6 years old.
Really?
I went door-to-door selling seeds. So I think that it's so important to, if you can, grow your own vegetables and herbs and eat organically, because otherwise it's a shot in the dark. You don't know what you're getting. It's so important to eat organically. And of course, if you can grow your own, that's the best. And eat fresh foods and alive, and make sure they're nice and colorful and delicious.
I'm going to let you know because I'm going to really get involved with seeds, and you're going to hear about it tomorrow. But I think it's a thing of the future. What you're doing with some of the work you're doing with the GMO-free candles, and the world is changing. And let's get on the right bandwagon. The right bandwagon is healthy foods, healthy products, seeds, organic gardening, better health. It's on the way, and we're going to make it happen. So you and I will talk about that.
One person at a time, right?
Yes, right. Thank you so
one
much.
One seed at a time.
On.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much for having
me. We'll see you tomorrow.
And you all be well.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Diane. Very excellent. And our next guest will, first I'm going to announce a couple things happening for the next few shows that we're going to have. We're going to be having Dr. Goldberg. Dr. Burton Goldberg is in the Bay Area, up north in Northern California. He is one of the foremost doctors in the world. He's been on radio all over. He's not only good at cancer, but many diseases. He's in the forefront and a really holistic doctor with he's really come way ahead of time of other people on warning us about the dangers of plastic and for drinking containers and for plastic bags, etc. He's into everything. This guy is one of the best people or doctors or speakers we'll ever have, period. So be sure to hear him. He'll be on in a few weeks. Pam Leary will be on. She is up in Washington now, but she's the lady that started the campaign in California. Yes, on 37, which we barely lost, but we're going to win the next one. She's going to give us a report on what's going on all over the country. At the end of this, after our next speaker, I'm going to give a few announcements about other events. But let's get to our next speaker. He's an acupuncturist who's on the forefront of that. He's also a life coach, a life path coach. His name is Edward Gordon, and he's going to tell us some new perspectives of acupuncture. Edward, thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Bob. Glad to be here.
Yeah, let's get right into the thing that sets you apart from other acupuncturists, some new things that you're doing.
Sure. Acupuncture is a it's a really interesting medicine that I'm not sure everybody's really familiar with, but it's a branch of medicine that is based on observation and a process of observing the cycles in the body and trying to create a balance in the body to deal with certain chronic conditions, but also emotional movement and behavioral problems as well. So the process that I've stepped into that is kind of unusual is a process of working with these cycles and these processes of flow within the body that we're all familiar with in a way to elicit a change in behavior and a change in perspectives that actually creates real change in the body that can also facilitate actual physical changes, which are definitely intimately related with the lifestyle changes and behavioral changes.
So, Edward, people come in with all kinds of problems or diseases or whatever they come in with, acupuncture has an answer. So,
it does.
Go ahead, speak. Tell us about that.
It does have an answer, and acupuncture fundamentally, as a branch of medicine, is very effective for chronic diseases, and very effective for things that are related to behavioral systems and lifestyles. So, you know, the person that comes in with the chronic low back pain, things like this, acupuncture is very effective to do what they call, like, clear the channels, to create certain openings. The very interesting thing, though, that is bringing acupuncture really to the forefront is that in dealing with certain chronic conditions, what we do is we actually use the cycles in the body. So we open energy cycles and we create these certain movements that create these openings. Sometimes it's uncanny, one needle, an instant change. And some people don't really understand exactly how it works, but it's definitely related to these cycles that flow in the body and these cycles that are everywhere around us that we see. You know, day moving into night, you know, the cycle of the ocean forming clouds, turning into rain, and then moving into the river. These cycles we live in constantly, and what we're starting to do now is we're starting to really recognize these cycles within ourselves and starting to be able to use these cycles to create actual real behavioral and lifestyle changes.
And wow, that's great.
It is. It's really amazing stuff. And the stuff that we're talking about is the cycle of, like, in a nutshell, it's like the cycle of learning how to use your breath, learning how to use your body, learning how to use your movements in life to create an openness to receive and getting in touch with gratitude, moving into self-love, connecting with really your mission, your message, what it is you came here to do in this life, and then creating real change in your life based on being in alignment with the way the cycles flow within yourself. And it's a mouthful, I know, but it's very, very exciting stuff. And what's really exciting that I find as an acupuncturist is that I can actually use acupuncture to help facilitate this process.
So when you have people come in, I know your other work besides acupuncture is a life path coach. You kind of feel them out and find out, and you let them know about your life path work. Tell us, to orient our people that don't know, what is a life path coach and what does it do? What do you do?
Well, the life path for me, as I got in touch with this cycle, the cycle of life, the cycle of the way the chi flows through the body, the chi that we use when we do acupuncture treatments, one of the pieces of the cycle is getting in touch with what it is that you came here to do. And I really stuck with that piece because that's a piece that a lot of people really relate to, and it's a piece that I got connected with within myself that created a lot of change. And so really what we do is we get in touch with somebody will come in and they'll have a certain set of circumstances, a certain set of issues that they're working on. And what we do is we take a look at what those issues are and allow those issues to actually open a doorway and point a direction. And we look at the way life flows for each individual person because all of our lives are different. You know, they're all as individuals, our fingerprint. And our life message is as individuals, our fingerprint as well. And so what we do is we look at how somebody's life comes together and what direction it's pushing them, and then we get connected with that. We open it. We identify it. And once somebody gets identified with their life path, with what it is that they need to do, things get a lot easier.
Yeah. You know, Edward, Dr. Martin Luther King said, change is slow. He is so right. They just had the 50-year anniversary of the Great March in Washington, and the beginning song, the ending song today is We Shall Overcome by Joan Baez. In 50 years, very little has happened. The change is slow, and in the medical industry, the same thing. Look how long it took for chiropractic work and acupuncture work to come around. Tell us about the beginnings, how many years ago, and what happened at the beginning. How did we get the country to understand the offices in the medical industry and the general public to know that acupuncture is good? Tell us about what you know about that.
Yeah, it's been a really amazing story, actually. And really, you know, acupuncture being based on kind of working with the actual person, working with the personality, and working with the lifestyles, it wasn't really readily accepted in the early days of medicine. Western medicine is kind of oriented more on the physicality of the body, which makes it really, really great for emergency medicine, by the way. But that orientation of being very physically oriented kind of made it difficult for other modalities of medicine to move in and make their place. But now people are starting to become more accepting, and there's pretty much a wide spectrum of Western medical practitioners that understand the connection between the body and the mind, the connection right. between the emotions and the creation of imbalance. And you can see it pretty much in every hospital. There's people that will talk to patients after surgery, talk to patients in the midst of heavy disease processes, and actually talk to them and try to create a positive attitude because they understand that relationship. Now, it's that relationship and that understanding of how those go together that has opened the doorway. And it started back in the 70s. That's when acupuncture really started moving into a little bit more of a mainstream status within the Western medicine protocols within the United States. And it has slowly grown. It has grown right alongside the awareness of that connection between the body, mind, and spirit.
So now, It started in China, in the Asian countries. Tell me
yes.
a little bit about that.
Yeah, it actually, I mean, acupuncture started, it's about 5,000 years old. And it was a medicine that was based on, like I was kind of saying before, it was based on people observing the way that things work. This is how the medicine was formed. So it's the idea of yin and yang. The idea of dealing with polar opposites, the idea of in-out, up-down, hot-cold, and bringing things back into balance. So that was how the
wow.
medicine originated. And just through observation, thousands and thousands of years of observation, the Chinese saw that, you know, if you activate a certain point, it creates a certain change in the body, a certain change in the rhythm and the cycle and the flow of the body that would create an actual physical result. And as a result of that observation and the efficacy of those treatments, it became pretty much the state medicine of China. And it was the state medicine for a long, long time until the Cultural Revolution. And at that point, it was actually banned. This is a great story, actually. It was actually banned. Mao banned anything traditional. And he brought in all Western medicine and all Western hospitals. And but a funny thing happened. There was some plagues, and there were some rampant diseases, and acupuncture was a really good treatment for it. And so they could train people to do these simple protocols, and they went around the country, these people that were trained just to do one protocol, and they did acupuncture on all these people that had this disease. And it was so effective that they couldn't deny it, and they brought it back. And so now acupuncture is taught in the medical schools in China right alongside Western medicine, which is pretty exciting. And
now,
we're going to get to that here eventually, I assume.
Well, I assume so, too, and you're in the forefront here in Southern California. I really admire your talk today because you're giving us insight that you don't normally hear, and we're educating our audience about acupuncture. It is so good. I've had it before. I've used it before. I'm excited and anxious to come to your office and see you and your work. This is wonderful. Let's give me a 2 or 3 minute closing motivation talk for our listeners about you, your work, acupuncture, and why it's important for them to look into it and come in and get a treatment.
Okay. Well, you know what I'd really like to say is I'd actually like to, like, double-prong this. And I'd like to say on one hand that acupuncture, for anybody anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, acupuncture is a fantastic way to access the systems in a body in a way where you can bring things back into balance. So it's not that it's going to necessarily cure you. It's going to allow you to naturally move in alignment with the ways that you need to go. So it's very effective for that. And I really, really encourage people to go out and try it. And don't just do one treatment. Go out and try, you know, 3 or 4 treatments. Allow your body the chance to move into an acclimation and into an alignment with that new change. And that's one prong about just getting connected with acupuncture. And then the second prong of what I want to say is, you know, I really, really encourage everyone also to start to get in touch with what you really want to do in the world. You know, what you really want to say in the world. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has a message. Everybody has something that they came here to say, every single person. And I really encourage people to get in touch with that particular process because it will create change. It makes your life easy. It gives you purpose. It gives you direction. It makes taking action easy. And I really believe that everybody coming together and singing their own heart song and speaking their own message, we all come together in a unity with each of our own powers and each of our own strengths, and we'll create real change in the world that way. So I know that's not exactly acupuncture, but it's a message that is dear to my heart, and it's one that I really want to get out to the world. So, anyway, that's it.
That's great. That is super. Edward, when you have more ideas of things you want to talk about, let me know. Give me a call. You have my number, and I will be
okay.
Coming within a week or two. We can discuss it when I come to your office. But this is so educational and so wonderful. Your talk is just great. And we should probably have you one of our very own meetings to give a talk on acupuncture as part of one of our meetings because it is so essential. I believe in it. I've done it before. I used it, and I think everyone should. There's still a lot. Some people are scared of it. They don't understand what it is. Needles, you know, and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How do you overcome that? What do you say about that, David?
Well, the needles that we use, and we don't have to use needles. Acupuncture is a process of using the meridian system in the body to create change. And the meridian system is like lines of energy, some of which correlate to nervous system pathways as well. And there's points that create change. Now, in acupuncture, we use these tiny, thin little needles, as thin as a hair. And most people don't feel anything when we put them in. Some people have a little bit of sensation, but for the most part, it is not a painful experience. And anybody who's really needle phobic, we can just use acupressure. We can use our fingers to push on the points and also help elicit a change. So
you do that also. You also do acupressure, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Wow. That's good.
So
people
shouldn't be afraid to try it.
No, that's right. I agree. I wholly defend that, talk about it, and when I talk to you, I want to talk about how we can, the things I can do. I'm really into the media and, you know, for many years, newspaper work, radio work, and getting the word out and organizing civil rights, activism. And we need to, in the medical industry, because if you know anything about Gary Noll's work, he strongly talks about how we need to change the whole medical industry, the pharmaceutical industry, all these things. They're all moneymakers, and that's all they care about. They don't care about health. Like you and I and the people we have on this show are more dedicated. We care. We want to make this a better world. So
absolutely. You know, I really I want to express my gratitude for having me on the show because I feel, along with you, that it's really important, and I really appreciate the opportunity to get the message out and give people the opportunity to realize that there's different perspectives, that they can see things in a different way, in a way that's going to create more balance, in a way that's going to create more community and create more positive, real change in the world. So I really appreciate you hooking me up with this. It's really great.
One more thing, David. Could you give your contact information so people can be in touch with you?
Sure, absolutely. People can contact me by phone, area code 310-254-5500. 4117. Again, that's 310-254-4117. Or I have a website, which is called thepowerofthepath.com.
Wow. I'm glad you did that slowly, Edward. I try to tell people that, and they don't. You know, I mean,
yes.
We have people that are, you know, over 50, you'd be surprised, a number of them. And when somebody gives a website or a phone number too fast, it's kind of hard to, for everybody to catch it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And so on my website, The Power of the Path, people can, there's a little email capture on the bottom. And if people want to put on their email, I send out blogs and, you know, try to keep people connected with the information and things that are happening and perspectives and so on and so forth. So I encourage people to go ahead and do that.
Great. You're a great source of information. Thank you so much for being on the show, okay?
Oh, you are certainly welcome. Thanks for having me, Bob. Have a great day.
You too.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Let me give a few announcements here, and we're going to close the show. The name of the show, as you remember, is Let's Create a Better World. We also talk about healthy aging, the whole body, mind, spirit, exercise, dance, yoga. We're into quite a few things for a quality life. Also, we're having a meeting tomorrow, as we said earlier, but I'm going to repeat the information. I'm going to give my phone number out also. And also, if you like our show, please rate us on iTunes. We're on every Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. The next few weeks, we're going to have Dr. Burton Goldberg, a great all-around doctor on diseases and cancer and other things. We're going to have Pam Leary from Northern California, who's in Washington now, working the campaign to win the election there. In this country, we won two elections already. We won Connecticut. We won Vermont. We're going for another 10, 12 countries that are on the ballot or about to get on the ballot. So we're going to win this. We're going to win this over. The world is changing. We're going to make it change. There are a lot of soothsayers that say that the end of the world is coming and it's all going to go bad and everything. But I do believe, like in the Mayan calendar, that we will see a golden age. It's coming. It's going to take. We have to go through a few pitfalls, but it is coming. Now, the meeting we're having tomorrow, Sunday, the 29th, will be in Venice, California. David King will be speaking about seeds, organic farming, and he's going to take us on a tour of the place. We'll have a food demonstration by another lady that was on the show earlier. That was Barbara Addison, an actual vegan food chef. This place is wonderful. The address is 13000 Venice Boulevard, Venice, California, but you come on the side street on Walgrove. Park on Venice Boulevard or Walgrove. Walgrove is on the west side, the cross street from Venice Boulevard, and you'll see the place. You won't miss it because there'll be signs there. I'll be running the meeting. Starts at 5:30. We'll be there early. We'll be there plenty earlier. There'll be people coming at 5 o'clock, so you're welcome to come earlier. That's about it for the show. Just want to remind you that you can get us on the archives. My phone number is 323-770-1925. We're going to have some great shows coming up. And my phone number is 323-770-1925. You can also catch the show on this number that you can call anytime. You can hear any of the shows on Progressive Radio Network, 619-550-0869. Or you can go to prn.fm. PRN stands for Progressive Radio Network. .fm as in Frank and Mary. And hit live audio or scroll down to the show, names of the shows. You can hear Gary Knoll's show. You can hear my show called Let's Create a Better World. That's it. Thank you so much. One more announcement. There's a Rhythm and Joy Festival coming up in Simi Valley the weekend. It's in California, Southern California, north of Los Angeles, northeast of Los Angeles. It's going to be October 4th, 5th, and 6th. And there'll be information. Just check into ragfestival.com. And we'll be possibly interviewing somebody from that group, or that show, on the next show coming up next weekend, Saturday. Okay, I hope our engineer is there. We can start the music a little early and hear as much of the song as possible. Thank you so much. Thanks to our engineer. Thanks to the producers in Los Angeles and New York. Thanks to our guest today. You Bobby Elias checking out.